With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did what they were able to do for the offense. First and foremost, I think the Henry Ruggs pick was always going to be the pick. Like, there is no more Raider type than Henry Ruggs III Like, he was the guy for me all along. But the addition of Bryan Edwards, I thought, was really sneaky good. The addition of Lynn Bowden Jr., sneaky, sneaky good. They make their offense, I think, with those three picks, far more dynamic, especially when you add in a Darren Waller, who had a really good season last year, gets that extension, and is really one of the top five or six tight ends in football. So when you think about some of the guys they added this offseason, especially in the draft, how much more dynamic of this do you expect this offense to be, and can they be dynamic even with the playmakers on the outside if Derek Carr refuses to stretch the football down the field?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the key. I think you hit it right there on the head. They're only going to go as far as Derek Carr allows them to go and as far as John Gruden allows them to go. You know, you have the weapons, but if you don't use them, it doesn't really matter. And I've been using this analogy all offseason. You know, if you're going to have a Ferrari, you got to treat it like a Ferrari. You can't treat it like a minivan. You know what I mean? You can't. Don't take the kids to school in your Ferrari. You take them to school in the Honda. So that's what they have to figure out, and they have to do that themselves. John Gruden has to find a way to push that button, push Derek Carr, and make him use Henry Ruggs. Speed is nothing if you don't use it. Bryan Edwards, big body, got to get him the ball. Lynn Bowden Jr., got to get him the ball. I mean, there's so many guys that can be playmakers, but you can't just dink and dunk, and right. You just can't settle on a two-yard pass and hope that this guy can break it for 15 yards. You've got to be willing to stand in the pocket, maybe get a little pressure around you, and throw it down the field and play dynamic-type offense, because you're trying to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be very successful.
We've got Q Myers here. He is the host of the Locked On Raiders podcast here on the Wester Hotline, and you can follow Q on Twitter at yourboyq524. Did I get that right? Just want to make sure I got
254.
That. 254. Of course. I always get my numbers mixed up. It's the dyslexia. So, Q, before I let you go, I got a couple more here for you. That matchup against the Bills in Week 4, I think will be really interesting, because this AFC, in my opinion, is wide open. I think there's the Ravens. I think there's the Chiefs. And then there's everybody else. And I think in that group, I think you could start to consider where the Bills lie there. Are they maybe the third, fourth, fifth team up there? I think their roster indicates that. They're bringing 88% of the snaps back this year. The Raiders are also interesting to me. I think really the whole AFC West has an argument to be made. I think Denver took some steps this year, but in the offseason. But they're young. How much do you believe continuity is going to take precedent in this offseason, considering all of the COVID-related things that are going to end up happening? And how much do you think continuity is going to take, maybe be an advantage for teams? And do you think that it's going to be an advantage for the Los Angeles Raiders?
I think continuity is going to be the king. I think it's really going to rule the NFL in 2020 because of everything you just said with COVID-19. It's going to be tough. This offseason is going to be really, really strange, and we don't even know what it's going to really look like. Training camp, when they're supposed to report at the end of the month or end of July. But I think that all the veterans coming back are going to be very, very important. Buffalo has a lot of them, just like you mentioned. I know the Raiders have a lot coming back. The key for the Raiders, I believe, is going to be how quickly can the young guys adapt to the NFL? How quickly can they thrive in the NFL and be difference makers because of everything we just said? I think that game against Buffalo is going to be very tough. I know when we went through the schedule and kind of said this is a win, this is a loss, I actually picked Buffalo to win that game just because I like what Buffalo's doing. I think that they have a real deal shot at being a really, really good team. And I picked them to win the AFC East, to be 100% honest with you. So I just think that they're going to be that good. That's going to be a tough out for the Raiders. But I do think, like you said, the AFC is wide open. It's going to come up to how quickly can young guys in the league, throughout the league, not just on the Raiders, but how quickly can they get up to speed, not having off-season workouts, not having a rookie minicamp, not having OTAs. I mean, it's all virtual. How much learning can you do if you're not on the grass?
So with Henry Ruggs, let's build off that for a moment, if we should. You know, I think the target hierarchy probably funnels right through Darren Waller, but Tyrell Williams had that big opening week, the big start to the season, and then really cooled off after an injury, and then just never really kind of followed back up with his early season success. I know, because he was on my fantasy team, and I was quite disappointed about that. Having said that, with Henry Ruggs, do you expect? I always expect rookie wide receivers to have that steep learning curve. I don't ever expect them to sort of have an impact early on, but I think with Ruggs' skill set, he has the skill set to potentially be an outlier there. So with that said, you know, where do you see the hierarchy of this? Is Hunter Renfrow going to be a bigger factor this year? I know he started to kind of come out towards the end of the year last year. So tell me a little bit about what you expect the target share to look like this year.
Well, I think Ruggs is going to be a guy that John Gruden's going to try to get the ball in his hands as early and often as possible. I think he's going to be a guy that John Gruden expected Antonio Brown to be, obviously without the experience, but still he has the speed and the playmaking ability. So I think Henry Ruggs is going to get a lot of attention. But with that being said, I think it's going to open it up for a lot of guys like a Darren Waller, like a Hunter Renfrow, who really came on strong at the end of 2019. I believe Hunter Renfrow is going to be a big-time red zone target. I think he's going to end up being a guy who's going to be sneaky good in the red zone, because there's going to be so many other targets that are going to be looked at and they're going to be paying attention to. Defenses are going to focus in on, and Hunter Renfrow is going to be able to thrive a little bit. And that's where the Raiders struggled the most in 2019. Their red zone was terrible. It was horrendous. You know, it's just almost like they didn't believe in the red zone. It was so bad. So they've got to find a way to get better and improve. And I think with Ruggs kind of taking the attention off of other guys and making a clean box for Josh Jacobs to run through, now he's not going to have the box loaded. He's not going to have eight guys trying to stop the run. I mean, I think it just opens up the offense and gives these guys a fair shot. But Hunter Renfrow, I think, is going to be a big-time player, and Henry Ruggs is going to help open him up.
All right, Q, before I let you go here, tell the folks where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your work, and thanks again, man, for being so generous with your time before your show. I do appreciate it.
No problem. The Locked On Raiders podcast, every single day I have it out there. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, it's right there. I'm on ESPN Central Texas, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Central Time, and at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And anytime you want me, you call me. I got you. I'll be on your show if you need me.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Have a great show today, and thanks again, man, for all your time. I do really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, man. Your boy Q there on Twitter, your boy Q254 on Twitter, and Q Myers from Locked On Raiders. Going to take a quick timeout. Other side, I'm going to get you prepped for hour two, because I got a full slate in hour two. I've got Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN and Mark Schofield from USA Today all coming up. We're talking Cam Newton, we're talking the Patriots, and we're talking Bills here on WGR. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nate Geary here, filling in for One Bills Live today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, bringing you up to date on everything going on around the league and with the Bills. And I've got a couple of great guests on deck for you for the next hour, which I figured I would promote and tell you about. Marcel Louis-Jacques, one of my good buddies from ESPN, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit about the ramifications of the Cam Newton signing in New England. Marcel also speaks from a place of knowledge, as he covered the Carolina Panthers 2 years ago. So he will have a unique perspective on being able to talk a little bit about what's going on, what to expect from Cam Newton this year. More importantly, what does that addition do for the New England Patriots' chances of winning and potentially coming back and being a team that had, for the most part, for the previous, I don't know, what do we want to call it, 5 months, been talked about as maybe the worst team in this division. I think most of that conversation can likely get thrown out the window. We also probably, here's the thing, I think I am doing exactly what the New England Patriots want, right? Which is, let's talk about the Cam Newton signing instead of the fact that they literally got fined $1 million and were docked a third round pick next year because they were cheating again.
Because they were recording a winless football team.
Yeah, they paid $1 million and a third round pick to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. With Jeff Driskel at quarterback, whoever was playing, I don't know who it was. Holy cow, guys. Like,
at that point, you're cheating because you just like to cheat.
Yeah, that is like you cheat. No. It's not because you like to. It's because you have to. Like, they're like a recovering addict of cheating. And they just couldn't help themselves against, well, here's the thing, Corey, right? Yes, they got caught cheating against Cincinnati Bengals, but they had been doing it every week before that.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea that it was just the Bengals that they paid $1 million to essentially win that game, it had been a culmination of several weeks in a row and culminating stories of people saying, hey, by the way, yeah, like their film crew is up filming our coaches. They're like, whatever information that or whatever insight that Bill Belichick got from that video was probably minimal. But the fact that the greatest coach of all time has been caught with his pants down one, not two, but three separate times. And then his quarterback was looped into Deflategate. That's four literal things that can absolutely and should at least somehow tarnish what they've been able to do. The idea that the greatest coach of all time has stretched and bent and pushed he towed a line. I mean, the guy kicked the line over. I mean, he was on the other side looking in. So for me, like the idea that Bill Belichick, listen, it's hard to take anything away from what Bill Belichick has done over his career. He is the best coach of all time. Full check, like full stop. But why do you have to cheat? So we're going to talk about that when we come up, when we come back here. You're listening to Nate Geary here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.